I'm going to be sharing a message, and this message is kind of circling the field, and I hope it lands at some point. You be the judge of that. I've never really spoken on the life of a person relating it to spiritual truth before. I've given illustrations and things in the past, but not really pulled together a message, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit on the life of Hudson Taylor. Now, let me ask a question here and be really honest here. How many of you have never heard of Hudson Taylor? Okay, thank you for those hands. Hudson Taylor was born in England in 1832 and lived 72 years. He died in China, in Changsha, China, middle of China, and became really probably one of the greatest gifts to the modern missions movement is anyone that's ever lived. And because of his life and his faith, it changed the whole course of how people did missions. He decided that he was going to go into the interior of China and become as much as he could like a Chinese. He grew his little long ponytail and took on Chinese dress of the style of the day, because he just wanted to relate as much as he could to the Chinese. And he was totally ostracized for that. And so that's just, in fact, and when he died in 1904, I believe, there were over 900 missionaries in China through the China Inland Mission. So it's an amazing story, and I'm going to back up, though. That's just kind of to introduce it, because I knew a lot of you don't know anything at all about his life. But in abiding in Christ, we shared this message. I heard the scripture just a while ago, the John 15 passage. You know what happens here is there's a picture of a vine, and probably Jesus was thinking of a grapevine, because a lot of grapes were grown in that area at the time. And everyone knew what he was talking about, a vine, a branch, grapes. And without the vine, the branches could not hold the fruit, which is pretty obvious. And for us too, he said that he was the vine and we are the branches. Now, there's a slight difference in the illustration between the grapevine and branch and fruit, and Jesus, us, and fruit. And one of the differences is that we have to choose to abide. You know, a grape branch really doesn't have a lot of choice. Once it's on there, it's on there. But Jesus says that we choose to abide. We choose to remain in Him. If you abide, if you remain, then the result of your life is fruit. But it's our choice. A grape vine doesn't have choice. Now, it's true that other things factor in on having good grapes besides the vine, right? They need sunshine, and they probably need a little pruning here and there. I'm not a grape connoisseur, but you know, I know they need to be pruned. And there's things that God uses in our life too to help us be more fruitful, like this conference, like your friends back home, like your church, and a lot of things. But Jesus is saying, primarily, if we are ever going to have a life that's going to bear eternal fruit, if we will ever do that, if the kingdom of God will ever be advanced through our life, then primarily it will be because we have tapped into Him as the whole source of our life. Colossians 3 verse 4 says, with Christ, who is our life. Christ is our life. And, you know, that's what God wants to become to us. Now, let's look a little bit of Hudson Taylor, and let me see if I can pull this all together for you in a few minutes. He was born in 1832, had kind of normal parents. His dad was a pharmacist. He had kind of a normal upbringing, just like you. He was not particularly excited about spiritual things. His dad tried to encourage him along. They had family Bible readings and all this. His dad had a real interest in China, And they would pull out a map of China occasionally and pray for it as a family. But that didn't really grip Hudson Taylor because he wasn't a believer. His mom had been praying for him, though, day after day, and had not given up in prayer. So one day when Hudson Taylor was 17, he found a little gospel tract, and as he read through this, he realized once and for all that Jesus died for him personally on the cross. And he got down on his knees and accepted Christ into his life. He was 17 years old. Now, 3 or 4 weeks later, because the change in his life was so radical, he prayed, "God, would you give me something to do as an expression of my love for you?" Have you ever prayed that to God? I mean, I think that's a good prayer. "God, would you give me something to do for my life? It's just that I could do, that it would just be as an expression and a gift back to you of all of my love for you, and for all you've done for me." As he prayed, this was only 3 or 4 weeks after his conversion, as he prayed, he felt that he was entering into a covenant with God, and God spoke to his heart, "I want you to go to China." Now, you know, God's plan for all of us isn't to go to China, but God's plan is to give us a life that will reflect his love and produce godly fruit. That's what he wants us to do as we abide in him. And, you know, I guess my question to you this morning, one of many questions I'll ask you, is, you know, have you ever asked God to do that in your life? To just give you, that he would lay something on your heart that would be a vision for your life? And I'm just not talking about a job. You know, all of us will earn money doing something. But I'm talking about something that will advance God's kingdom. And God wants to do that in every one of our lives. And you may say, "You are so ordinary." Listen, Hudson Taylor was an ordinary young man. He was not in sports. He was not particularly smart. He didn't particularly have a great personality. He was kind of a short guy. Wasn't all that attractive. But God used him as much as probably anyone he's ever used in the last couple hundred years. So, believe God for that. Now, Hudson Taylor did not just kind of sit around and hope something would happen. At 17, here's what he began to do. When God laid on his heart to go to China, he decided that he'd give up his feather bed and start sleeping on the floor because he needed to get ready for difficult things. He began to study and he began to read. There wasn't a whole lot about China at the time, but he began to read and he studied on it. There was a little gospel, a part of a gospel of Luke that had been translated into Chinese, into Mandarin. And so he got an English translation of Luke, a Chinese translation of Luke, and tried to find common words and common Chinese characters, and he began to learn vocabulary that way. It was totally archaic way to learn, but that's what he wanted to do when he's 17. He got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray and read the word and study. He studied Greek, he studied Latin, he studied Hebrew, he studied Chinese, and he did everything else too. He was a student, and he worked for his dad in the pharmacy. And, you know, I just want to encourage you all not to sell yourselves short. I didn't know that guy was back there. Her little movement back there. We didn't know one of those animals were getting down off the wall. You know, don't sell yourself short. You have unbelievable potential for the kingdom of God. Every one of you do. If you could imagine down in the years ahead what God wants to do in your life, it would totally blow you away. Every one of you. But you're going to have to choose to get ready. Do you know that your learning curve is as high right now as it will ever be in your whole life? You will never have an age where you will be able to learn more and do it quicker than right now. I guarantee you. I'm 49, and something has to be repeated to me 10 times now before I even hear it, much less learn it. So if you miss out on these years of learning and preparation, you're going to really put yourself in a hole. Hudson Taylor chose at those early years as a 17-year-old to begin to prepare himself for the future. Now, I have a daughter, Jessica, my youngest daughter. She's 17. And I have never talked to her about having a quiet time, and neither has my wife. She's been around conferences like this where it's been discussed. But she gets up at 5:30 every morning, and by about 5:50, she's reading the Bible and praying. And she's not a recluse type person. She's in the band. She lettered in cross country. She's a homecoming queen, honorary attendant. She plays flute. She is learning the keyboard. She's in a little band, a little Christian band. And she studies just like everyone else does. But she wants to love God in her life, and she wants her life to count. Now, what she does on her noon hours is get with non-Christians. She purposely tries to target non-Christians to get to know. And she's a junior in high school. And she's met this group of Muslim kids that just love her to death. And they had a Bible study on what it meant to be forgiven the other day. And Jessica gets her verses out and studies it and goes with these gals. She's in a prayer meeting with other believers. On Friday, they'll circle the campus in a prayer walk, believing God to work in their high school. And she's 17 years old. And I don't prod her at all to do it, but she's decided that she wants her life to count for God. Now, I really pray for her a lot, because you know there's a verse in Proverbs that says the prostitute hunts for the precious life. And, you know, I think you can expand that to mean that the devil is out to get anyone who's going to make a difference for the kingdom of God, and that means you. And the devil is on the prowl. And we need to believe God together to protect, that He would protect us from all of the darts and things that the devil hurls at us. But, you know, Jessica is such a challenge to me. She's 17. And, you know, you guys are a little older than that, but I would encourage you, I love conferences, but you know, conferences come and go. I mean, they do. I've been to some unbelievably great conferences. But, you know, unless you decide to act upon what you hear and what you believe God's speaking to your heart, I mean, this conference, I mean, it'll be gone in a few days. I guarantee you. You may have a few pictures, you know, that'll be nice, but it will have no effect. And so you need to decide, just like Hudson Taylor did, I want my life to count, and I'm willing to sacrifice to get prepared. Hudson Taylor learned lessons of faith at an early age because he knew that when he got to China, that God was going to be his only hope. And you know, that's true no matter whether you stay in Norman, Oklahoma, or go to China. God is going to be your only hope. Now, it may not be quite as clear in your own eye as it was when he went to China. But God wants to bring every one of us to the point where we see that God is our only hope. Dennis Jernigan has a song that a lot of you know, All in All. You're my strength when I am weak. You're the treasure that I seek. You're my all in all. And see, God wants to become that to every one of us. And Hudson Taylor learned lessons when he was 17 and 18 years old that helped prepare him for China. For instance, one time he was walking down in a poor section of town, and a young husband came up to him and said his children were sick, his wife was sick, and he desperately needed some money for bread. Hudson Taylor had one little coin on him, and he wished he could have had two coins so he could give the man part of it. But that was all the money Hudson Taylor had, and he had this big struggle going on in his heart. I've got to have some money for my food. But after, as he struggled with God, he realized God wanted him to give up all that he had to this poor guy to feed his family. And God was teaching him at an early age that God would be faithful to meet his needs. He went down in slum areas to witness, to in dangerous areas, because he just wanted to put himself out on the edge of the table in believing God. Someone asked him later in life, how do you get more faith to believe God for the things he did? Because if you look at his life, you see this unbelievable mountain of answered prayer. And Hudson Taylor said a very interesting thing. He said that it's not great faith we need, it's faith in a great God. Is your God really great? You know, we want a lot of faith, you know. Oh man, if I had more faith like you. That's not the battleground, gang. The issue is your God great? That needs to be our focus. Well, Hudson Taylor left for China when he was 21 years old. It took him 7 months to get there. Last summer, I went to China, and it took me, I left Oklahoma City, and about 30 hours later, I was in northern China. And it was brutal on me. Well, it took him 7 months. They had to go all the way around the Horn of Africa and in a non-powered boat, powered by wind, and just took a long time. When he arrived in Shanghai, he arrived when a war was going on, one of the opium wars of the 1800s. There was fighting and brutal killings. No one was there to meet him. No one was there to support him. The people that were supposed to have wired money and all that didn't do it. He had little money. He knew no one, and he arrived in a danger zone at 21 years old. Now, some of you are 21. If you can imagine going into a foreign country, didn't know how to communicate at all. And so he went to the British consulate and find a missionary group, I think a Lutheran group, that would take him in. And he felt really awkward because the group that sent him wasn't caring for him. And he had to kind of scrounge and sponge off another group. And the beginning of his missionary career was really difficult for him. I don't know if you've ever started something, maybe a small group Bible study, or tried to witness to your parents, or witness to a friend. Maybe you've just tried to do something and you started out and it was really a bust, you know. And it's really easy to give up, isn't it? Well, he could have easily given up when he went to China because there was nothing there that was attractive to him. The only thing that was attractive to him really was that God had called him and he saw 300 million Chinese at the time without Christ. That was the only reason he could stay. Nothing else was going well. And there's a verse in Psalms 31, 14 and 15. David says, "But I trust in you, O God. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand." My times are in your hand. And Hudson Taylor rested in that at 21 years old. He wanted to do something that was really different. And he realized that people just living in the port cities of Shanghai and Hong Kong and Canton and some of the others, they were never going to reach the Chinese. No one was reaching interior China. There were a few Catholic Jesuits and things like that there, Catholic priests, but no one with an evangelical is in the interior. So he believed that that's what God wanted him to do. So, as I mentioned to you, he grew his ponytail, he put on Chinese garb, he got him a Mandarin teacher and moved inland. Now, he was totally ostracized for this. The missionary communities that kind of were in these little compounds, they thought, what in the world are you doing? You're going to embarrass us, you're going to get killed, you're going to cause an international incident. But he said, you know, China is not going to be reached any other way. And so he took off and do that. And, you know, God taught him dependence. Can you imagine going into a situation where nothing is comfortable for you? And yet that's what he did when he was 21 and 22 years old. You know, the life of someone who abides in Christ. This is really true. The life of someone, if you're going to abide in Christ, you are going to have to live a dependent life on God. I mean, that's what abiding is. A branch, that's what a branch is. It's dependent on the vine. It is not mutually dependent. It is not codependent. It is totally dependent. And if you are going to abide in Christ, you will be a dependent person. Last week, we had a missionary selection time, and we had 16 students apply for summer missions, and the committee that met felt that three of them just weren't ready to go overseas. They're good young people, but they just weren't ready. And I was really struggling with this because it's kind of my job. I'm going to have to, you know, go to them and talk with them and encourage them, and I don't like that kind of stuff. And I was totally uptight about this whole thing. My problem wasn't the difficult job. My problem was that I wasn't depending on God. And Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast your cares on Him, and He will sustain you." I mean, that's a promise of God, and I just had to roll that burden on the Lord. And and I'm sure you face things that are really difficult. God wants to teach you dependence. And whether you stay in Norman or California or China, God is calling you to live a dependent life. I guarantee you. And if you're ever going to bear eternal fruit, as Jesus longs for us to do in John 15, if that will ever happen to you, you will learn to live a dependent life on God. Hudson Taylor became a leader in the modern missions movement, but, you know, nothing came easy to him. Let me give you a couple of illustrations here. He was single when he went to China, and actually he was close to a young woman that he left behind, but it didn't work out because she didn't want to come to China. Her parents didn't want her to come, so that relationship ended. So for a few years, he lived a lonely life. He made some missionary journeys with some other believers, but he longed for companionship, as you do. He met a young orphan gal, Maria Dyer, who was in a different city, about 200 miles away, in one of these missionary compounds. She was 17 years old. And they kind of became fond of each other. But there was a problem. She had a guardian named Miss Addersley. And Miss Addersley did not like Hudson Taylor. She didn't like how he looked. She didn't like what he did. She didn't like anything about him. And there was no way she was going to give her approval for a courtship between Maria and Hudson. And the struggle with Hudson Taylor was really difficult because he felt that she might be the one that God had for him. And for months, he had to lay that down. I talked last night about laying down things. He laid that down before God and said, God, if you want to bring us together, you're going to have to do it. Well, over a period of time, he wrote a relative of Maria's who in England who ultimately had legal guardianship of her. And they wrote back, and this guy gave his permission. And God worked out a miracle where they could be married. And it's an amazing love story that if you like love stories, this one will beat any soap opera that has ever been invented. I guarantee you, this is a great love story of Hudson Taylor's courtship and marriage of Maria Dyer. And they had a great marriage, and God used them together to penetrate inland China with the gospel. I don't know how you react when doors are closed to you. But if we're going to be used by God, we're going to have to figure out how to trust Him when doors are closed. One of our young gals back at Manhattan wants to go to China this year. She went last year and God greatly used her. And she wants to go back. But her parents, they had a little trouble with it last year, and they were really having trouble with it this year. The money. In fact, Gail, I think, will end up living in China the rest of her life, very likely. And but she wanted to defer to her parents. And they said, I don't think so. We want you to come back home on a dairy farm and do dairying and make money. And she doesn't have any school debt, so it's not like that. It's just her parents are a different background, and they don't think that that's what they want their daughter to do. So Gail began to pray. And she didn't argue with her parents. She just quietly laid it before God. And over a period of about 2 months, God totally changed their heart, where now they've given her her blessing. And she's going to China. And you know, she was concerned, but she laid it down. And if we're ever going to really be used of God, we're going to have to be willing to hang in there with God when doors are closed. And I guarantee you, you're going to have a whole lot of doors closed in the next few years. You're going to have doors closed in relationships. You're going to have doors closed in seeking jobs. I guarantee you that. You're going to have doors closed in moving into apartments and all kinds of different crazy things happen. We've got to learn to hang in there with God when doors are closed if we're ever going to be used. I mean, that's just a fact of life. And if you have a door that's really closed in your life right now, you should consider that as a great privilege. And you should rejoice, God, thanks for this closed door. Because what happens is that you see a greater work of the power of God in your life that someone else may never see. So, and that's what happened to Hudson Taylor. God was preparing him for a future of really tough things. And it was just so evident that the Lord was allowing to learn lessons of faith. Some of these notes I wrote on the airplane, and that little stretch from Denver down to Colorado Springs was really bumpy yesterday. So I've got Egyptian hieroglyphics here. I think I can go on by that. I think I was getting ready to throw up then, and I'm not sure quite. After Hudson Taylor was in China a few years, he had been back to England for a little bit, but he realized that God wanted to establish a mission organization that really would look to God totally for finances. Not running around raising support and going to churches, just looking to God. And so he did that, and they called it the China Inland Mission. And God began to really bless, but again, nothing was easy. He had some initial people that went over with him that complained, that didn't want to wear Chinese dress. They wanted to do English-type stuff. They didn't want to get their hair cut. And they rebelled toward his leadership. Many things happened that were difficult for Hudson Taylor. And he began to see, after a few years, that he needed a deeper work of God in his life. as well as the small mission group that he led of several families. And he really struggled with faith. He said, God, I want more faith, but I don't feel it. I don't feel like I have it. Some days I do, but it's so gone, and I want more holiness. And sometimes I feel close to you, but sometimes I feel so sinful. If you're like me, those are kind of normal things. And he had this big struggle going on in his life. Well, one day, he got a letter from a friend, one of his missionary colleagues. And this friend shared with him something that he had learned that really became, in a sense, Hudson Taylor's spiritual secret, of which a famous book was written by that title several years ago by his son, Dr. Howard Taylor. And Hudson Taylor's spiritual secret was this. And here's kind of the key sentence of the morning. So, everybody wake up here and, the animals are watching you. And he longed for more faith, but he didn't have it. And so the simple insight that God spoke to Hudson Taylor was the secret of abiding in Christ is not striving for more faith, but rather looking to the faithful one. The secret of abiding in Christ is not striving for more faith, but rather looking to the faithful one, Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so if you can get the picture, it's not me saying, oh God, please help me to believe you more, kind of gutting it out, okay, I think I can believe you with this. That's not the idea at all. The idea is looking to the one who never fails and who never leaves us or forsakes us, the faithful one. that's why, and I think Matthew 17:20, it says if you have faith, just like, in a sense, just like the size of a little mustard seed, you can say to one of these mountains, be removed, be cast into the sea, and it will be done. The idea is not the size of our faith, it's who we are looking to, Jesus Christ. He is the faithful one. And as Hudson Taylor began to realize that, God gave him great peace. And he still struggled some, but it was more resting in the Lord. Now I want to tell you that it wasn't that he just kind of hung out with God in a casual, blasé relationship. No, he was very active in keeping that gaze focused. In fact, one person said that the sun never rose in China, but what it didn't find Hudson Taylor on his knees for God on behalf of the Chinese people. And people that traveled with him said, always before sunrise, he had a little candle, and he would be up reading the Word, pouring over the Word, believing the promises of God, and pouring out his heart for his friends and for the Chinese people. So, as he looked into Jesus, it wasn't like this kind of passive, mellow idea, kind of like putting on headphones and listening to a CD. No, it was active. He was looking to Jesus in an active way. He said later in life that when I think of all the things Jesus has done for me, the life I have lived is but a small thing to give back to Him. He said that following the death of his wife and two of his children who died really brutal deaths with Maria died of dysentery, which is a tough way to go where your body dehydrates. And he lost a number of his family, a number of his colleagues. They went through the terrible Boxer Rebellion in the late 1800s, where a lot of the China Inland missionaries were brutally massacred, as well as a lot of the Chinese believers. And someone asked him at the end of his life, you know, was it really worth it? I mean, all the price, all this suffering, I mean, unbelievable suffering. And you know, he could say, you know, as I think of what Jesus has done for me, it's a small thing that I've given him my life and gone through the things that I did. Let me kind of wrap it up here. There's a lot of that I could say about Hudson Taylor's life. I have 15 different volumes on my bookshelf, all different on his life. So I could talk a long time about it, but I will not do that, as you are grateful for, I'm sure. But his life was an amazing testimony to the grace of God. When he was older and interviewed, he said that God taught me in my helplessness to rest on Him and to pray about little things in which another person might have felt really adequate to help himself. Hudson Taylor saw himself as a very weak person, very inadequate, and yet he believed in a big God. And Jesus said, "Abide in me." And that's the key to bearing fruit, and that's the lesson that Hudson Taylor shows us today. Abiding is really kind of simple, actually. It's simply looking to Jesus, drawing moment by moment from Him through His Word and prayer. I mean, that's kind of simple. I can figure that out. You don't have to go to seminary. I mean, you don't have to know a whole lot. It's simply looking to Jesus, abiding in Him, drawing from His Word, being in prayer. It's a daily thing. It's not a 30-minute deal in the morning. It's moment by moment. Now, you may set aside time for a quiet time, but you should be in fellowship just as much now with God as you are at 6:30 in the morning in your quiet time. You should be in just as much fellowship with God when you're playing sports this afternoon or hiking as you are now or in the morning. One time is not any more spiritual than another. God wants the daily, moment by moment, drawing on Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Dave shared a verse yesterday about being thirsty for God in the river of living water that flows from your life. It's not a river that flows from 6:30 to 7 in the morning during your quiet time. A river runs all the time. And that's what God desires for each of our lives. Now, in closing, I want to share with you just a little bit that Hudson Taylor wrote in his journal toward at a very difficult time in his life. He was 42 years old when he wrote this. He had had some deaths in his family. He was very ill. His health was never good. He was being criticized by other missionary organizations and even by people in the China Inland Mission. Nothing was going well at this time for him. And he wondered if he should give up. And this is what he wrote in his journal. If God has called you to be really like Jesus in all your spirit, He will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility and put on you such demands of obedience that He will not allow you to follow other Christians. And in many ways, He will seem to let other good people do things that He will not let you do. Other Christians and ministers who seem very religious and useful may push themselves, pull wires, and work schemes to carry out their own schemes, but you cannot do it. And if you attempt it, you will meet with such failure and rebuke from the Lord as to make your life sorely penitent. Others may brag on themselves, on their work, on their success, on their writings, but the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do any such thing. And if you begin it, He will lead you into some deep mortification that will make you despise yourself and all your good works. Others may be allowed to succeed in making money, but it is likely that God will keep you poor, because He wants you to have something far better than gold, and that is the helpless dependence on Him, that He may have the privilege of supplying your needs day by day out of an unseen treasury. The Lord will let others be honored and put forward and keep you hidden away in obscurity, because He wants some choice, fragrant fruit for His coming glory, which can only be produced in the shade. He will let others do work for Him and get credit for it, but He will let you work and toil on without knowing how much you are doing. And then, to make your work still more precious, He will let others get the credit for the work you have done. And this will make your reward 10 times greater when Jesus comes. Almost through. Hang in here with me. The Holy Spirit will put a strict watch over you with a jealous love, and will rebuke you for little words and feelings, or for wasting your time, over which other Christians never seem distressed. So make up your mind that God is an infinite sovereign and has a right to do as He pleases with His own. And He may not explain to you 1,000 things which may puzzle your reason in His dealings with you. He will take you at your word, and if you absolutely sell yourself to be His slave, He will wrap you up in a jealous love and let other people say and do many things which He will not let you say and do. Settle it forever that you are to deal directly with the Holy Spirit, and that He is to have the privilege of tying your tongue or charming your hand or closing your eyes in ways that He does not deal with others. And now, when you are so possessed with the living God that you are in your secret heart pleased and delighted over the peculiar, personal, private, jealous guardianship of the Holy Spirit over your life, you will have found the vestibule of heaven. And Hudson Taylor said that at a time where he was really wondering if he should give up. And, you know, that little writing, that journal entry, has been such a challenge to me over the years. And his life has been, you know, biographies are so great. And I've shared with you just a little bit of the life of Hudson Taylor. But I would really encourage you to read. Probably the best book out now is this one, the Hudson Taylor, God's Man in Christ by Roger Steer. Charlie says she gives 20% discounts on these. And this is a great book. Your generation has difficulty sitting quietly and reading. And that's, I'm sorry, because you're missing out on a whole lot. You've got a whole lot of strengths, a lot more than I do. But there's one thing that I'm sad about, and that is that your generation has trouble waiting quietly and reading. And biographies are so good. There's a verse in Proverbs 13:20 that says, "He who walks with wise men becomes wise." If you walk along with a wise person, you in fact will learn from their wisdom. To read a biography is in a sense walking through life with a person. And there are some great ones out. Amy Carmichael, who went to India to share the gospel with young girls being trained as prostitutes. It's an unbelievable story. There's so many out. Jim Elliott, who was a martyr in Ecuador in 1956. And Charlie and Max and Dave and the staff could help you all pick out one or two. But I would just challenge you to do that. Hudson Taylor leaves us with a life of sacrifice and faith and godliness that is really a rebuke to my own life. And I hope just as I've shared a little of his life and what it meant for him to abide in Christ, that perhaps you've picked up and gleaned just a little bit of that challenge. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for allowing us the privilege of being together, and as we share these verses this morning from John 15, that you are the vine and we are the branches. And if we abide in you, Lord, if we abide in you, then we have the privilege of bearing fruit. And God, teach us that secret of abiding, what it means to each one of us individually.